are in Orlando to show support for all residents of the 407 affected by Saturday night's tragedy, the biggest mass shooting in American history. Soul Brother Kevin and Seth are along with me. And this dude, man, it's one thing to talk to him on the phone and find out that he's okay and healthy and all that, but it's another thing to see him for the first time in about 15 years. I saw on Facebook that a mutual friend of ours, DJ Caesar, had posted, just to let everybody know, DJ Ray Rivera, also known as DJ Infinite, is safe, and he was spinning last night at Pulse Nightclub. That's when this Facebook feature that they do that allows people to check in a tragedy and let everybody know that they're safe, that's when really it started to magnify just the impact of what happened on Saturday night. And I found out that my friend Ray Rivera was DJing when everything happened. We talked to him on the phone yesterday, and the fine folks here at Cox Media Group Orlando were good enough to send a promo team over to his place. Because is your car still impounded at the nightclub?
Yeah, it's not. It's not going to come anytime soon.
Man, because they probably collect evidence and all that stuff. Ray, I know you told us yesterday, but we got a whole new crowd listening today. I'm sure you set up for a Saturday night like it's your normal night at Pulse. You know, you got a Latin theme night, so you're going to play some reggaeton, you know, some banging club hits. When was the moment that you realized that this was not your average Saturday night?
Right about 2:05.
Okay.
When 2:05 came, the whole vibe just changed.
Right.
It went from 2:00 being the mellow point where I start, you know, bringing down the pace where everybody can close out the bar tabs, you know, get your phone numbers, do whatever you're going to do, and at 2:30, lights come on, get out.
Right.
Right at 2:05, it went from 0 to 100 in like 1 second.
You heard pop, 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 and you thought they were firecrackers first.
Yeah. So, and then I lowered my volume.
Right.
Kind of just kept it at low volume and thought maybe it was somebody, you know, playing a joke. Firecrackers.
Right.
Okay. Then all of a sudden it went off again, and that's when most of the people started running towards the exits.
Right.
Jumping over the fence, you know, running by me, heading out the door. They literally were jumping the fence, jumping onto a car, and then jumping off. And that's at that point is when I kind of just I closed my laptop down and was kind of like ducking behind the DJ booth.
Right.
And people were running, hiding underneath, you know, told the girl, come on, let's go. She ran first. I went behind her. And then he was just letting off rounds like every five rounds, pause for 2 seconds, 3 seconds, then keep going. Kept going.
Could you see him as he was moving throughout the club?
No. Where I'm located, I can see into the club, but I can't see. It's just a doorway.
Right.
So where I was, it was kind of like standing there.
Right.
Looking just through that door. That's all I can see.
Jeez. And to hear that and know what was happening out there had to be terrifying, man.
Once everybody started running.
Yeah.
Is when it kind of clicked in as like, oh, this is real.
Right.
This is not, you know.
This is not some punks with firecrackers.
Yeah. Because, you know, where the fence is, you could easily light it on the other side and throw it over. And,
sure.
Oh, ha, ha, you know.
Right.
So at that point, I knew it was not a joke.
Was everything kind of moving in slow motion, or was it just so fast that you felt like it wasn't even happening? Did you feel like you kind of had your wits about you, or was it just so overwhelming?
It was overwhelming.
Yeah.
I honestly, dude, I was like, this is real. Okay, now I got to go.
Right.
Got to get out of here.
You know, yeah.
People kept running out of the main room, out of the side, so they were coming from all points. They were going out the other exits, and everybody was just trying to get out.
We're with Ray Rivera. He was the DJ at Club Pulse on Saturday night. Soul Brother Kevin.
Ray, so once you got out of the club, where did you go? Like, what did you do for the next couple hours? I mean.
Well, they had the club surrounded. Like, basically, when the backup showed up, mm-hmm. they once I came out of the gate, the one officer was telling everybody, go, get as far away as you can.
Right.
So I went around to where my car was. And I was hiding behind my car at that point because I actually grabbed my laptop and took it with me. I went out, threw it in the car, was hiding behind my car. Backup showed up, and they all came guns blazing.
Right.
Like, guns drawn, you know, pulling up. And I'm like, okay, now it's time to get out of, you know,
right.
range of any bullets flying.
Wow.
So we went around the corner. They kept us over there from, 2:00 to about 7?
Wow.
So we sat there, and we just, you know, waiting for the news, you know, the officer, you know, OPD was really cool, bringing us waters, you know,
good.
Keeping us, you know, because we're just sitting there. We can't go back, so.
Right.
Then at that point, they bring us back over to where a lot of other people were.
Right.
And then they bring us downtown to the police headquarters.
It's a situation that nobody ever wants to find themselves in. Do you think that there's anything that clubs can do moving forward to kind of enhance security measures for not just for gay nights, but for any nights when it comes to a situation like this?
It's yeah, in a way, but when you go to a club, you frequent a club, you know, yep. There's a spot you like to go to, whether it be a club, strip club, wherever you like to go. You know, I mean, if you start putting metal detectors in, you know, you're walking through a metal detector and they got the wands. After you walk through the metal detector, then you're walking through a body scanner. You know, I mean, you're going to go, I'm not going out.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm just.
You don't want to be reminded of the security risks that are out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go out to forget about them.
It's unfortunate for one person's, you know, doing.
Right.
That it just that's the way this turned out.
Yeah.
It went, like I said, it went from being a really good night, everybody having a great time, dancing like they always do, to just complete chaos.
Yeah, and I did say earlier, and I'll say it again, how tragic it is that Orlando is known so much for an inclusive environment where gay people party with straight people, and you go to a gay club and you see straight DJs, straight people everywhere, yet one hate-filled person comes in and unfortunately puts Orlando in the international spotlight by doing something like this, allegedly because he had such a hatred for people who love people of the same gender.
You know, me and my wife, we don't put a label on anybody.
Right.
You know, if you're a good person, you're a good person, period. I don't care if you're, you know, gay, straight, black, white.
Right.
We don't care.
Right.
You know, for somebody to put a label and hate and just come in there and kill 50 people, that's BS.
It really is, man.
And then, you know,
And it was your birthday weekend too, right?
Yeah. My birthday started Friday and I had to work Saturday, so there was no plan Saturday.
Right.
And then Sunday we were going to do another Sunday fun day downtown, but all this happened, then basically all the clubs yesterday were closed.
Yeah, and plus you were in the national spotlight. I saw you on CNN last night. You did Good Morning America this morning. And you got to be pretty exhausted about now.
Dude, I'm tired. Like, the only reason I'm here now is because of you.
Thanks, man.
After this, I'm done. My wife's like, we might have to change your phone number or something.
Take a couple of days.
What are you going to do for your own mental health, man? Like to shake the images and the whole experience?
I think I need to get a good night's sleep and try to figure that out.
Because I suggest go on a cruise, man.
Right now, it's you know, like I said, my car is locked in there, so I don't have a car right now.
Right.
All my equipment's in there, so like, you know, I'm kind of stuck right now until they actually let us get back in there and, you know, let us take whatever we can out.
Sure.
Once they get all their stuff situated, you know, we'll go from there.
We've got Ray Rivera in the studio. He was the DJ at Pulse when the shooting happened, and I'm sure it was a relief to your friends and family for them to know right away. You know, we rag on social media all the time because it's such a waste of time and because it really is a way for people to get connected. And in the time of a tragedy like this, for Caesar to go immediately and say, hey, listen, I checked with Ray. He's great. He's fine. We know immediately. Whereas before social media, I don't know how anybody would have found you, you know?
Yeah. If there was no social media, it would have been cell phones. So, you know, God forbid that I would have been hit and you would have been calling my cell phone.
Right.
It would have just been ringing till the phone died.
And so many people in that room laying there. And there was, I guess, a 3-hour standoff, they said, between the cop and the shooter. Did he herd a bunch of people into the back and was holding them in one of the bathrooms, from what I read?
I don't know. I don't know if any – they wouldn't give us any details while we were sitting there.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what was going on. When the FBI came in, when the big dogs were called,
right.
At that point, OPD didn't really have any – they were on like secret channels.
Right.
It was like, I can't hear anything. All we heard was shots, a big bang, and, you know, trucks driving by.
Man.
That's all after we got out of the club, that's all we saw.
Well, again, I can't emphasize enough how glad I am that you're safe, dude. And it means a lot to me that you'd come down here today. And, you know, I certainly don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you need some sleep. And
I had a 3-hour nap. I'm good.
And everybody's beating down your door. So as far as media goes, too, because, you know, we had Geraldo this morning in this building, and then Good Morning America put you on now. And, man, I'm very sorry that this happened for you. But at least there's a voice and a face behind all of this that shows the human element and what you did to help. And let's touch on this. You saw a couple right in front of you at your DJ booth, and you kind of helped them up to hide from everything.
You know, what's funny about that is basically that was, you know, somebody's shooting, we're ducking down, there's a break, let's go. You know, as soon as there was a break, it was like, all right, come on, go, go, go. You go, I'm right behind you. I'm getting out of here as well. I'm not staying.
Did you talk to them while you were all waiting with the cops and stuff? Did you reconnect with them?
No, people went separate ways, and once people went left or right or straight across to where the, you know, across the street, they were all little groups, and the cops had all the groups just there.
Yeah.
So when they bring us all, it's like around 7 o'clock to a meeting point is when we all got to see people that we, you know, oh, did this person get out? Did this person get out? So there was about, I don't know, there's 3 busloads of people they took to the police station. So it was probably about, I don't know, about 50, 75 of us.
Man. So there's people out there who are only alive because you helped them get to a point of safety.
There's, you know, it, like I said, one person, two people, as you know, I mean, I honestly, it's more, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Let's just get out.
Yep.
You know, you go, I'm grabbing my laptop, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I'm glad you did, dude. I mean, I'm sure that you're thinking every moment how mind blowing all of this is. But from this point forward, you got to feel so grateful just to be still on this planet, man.
You know, and it, I don't know if you saw those pictures that are popping up all over Twitter and all over above me and my wife.
Yeah.
You know, that picture, we didn't even see anybody taking that picture.
Right.
There's 2 pictures. There's one, that one, and then there's another one somewhere, and that's she. I was at the police station, and I needed a ride home, so she came to pick me up, and as soon as she got there, she came running out of the car to give me a hug.
Wow.
And as soon as she came in, gave me a hug, that picture got snapped.
Yeah.
And it was like, and then the next thing I know, my son calls me and go, or texts my wife and goes, hey, you're number one on Twitter right now. And I'm like, what? My wife pulls up, and she goes to CNN, goes to Twitter, goes to, there's like 10 websites you actually using that picture right now.
Wow.
And it's like, okay, well, this is, I don't know how to take this.
Right.
You know, her friends, people that she hasn't heard from, people I haven't heard from in years, texting, you know, I've had the same phone number for 15 years.
Right.
So people that I've known for 15 years are still, hey, is this you? I'm like, yeah, this is me. You're good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. You know, everything's, you know, fine. You know,
sure.
I'm here.
And you know, a lot of people care about you, man. And I'm so glad that you're okay. And I'm glad that you were able to provide comfort for people at that time. And seeing that picture of you and your wife, it's like the look on your eyes says it all, man. It's like, what did I just go through? What have we all just seen? What have we all just witnessed?
I think when she came and gave me a hug, it was more of, you know, okay, I'm safe. It's a relief. But, you know, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
What did I just... see and go through.
Ray Rivera is in the studio with us. He was the DJ at Pulse on Saturday night in Orlando. You said yesterday that this will not deter you from continuing to play music for people in a nightclub environment, obviously with a mindful eye towards security, but we have to go on and live our lives, and you know, otherwise we let the terrorists win.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I'm supposed to work tonight. You know, I was supposed to work Wednesday. It's not going to stop me from doing what I love to do.
Right.
You know, and if it did, then I'd just kind of be, you know, just working my day job during the day.
How do you feel about people who have given you credit for saving people's lives by shutting the music down like you did?
That was common sense.
Right.
I wanted to hear what the hell was going on.
Right.
You know, it's like if I have the music playing and I just bring the volume down, why, you know, why not?
Right. Why wouldn't I do that?
Yeah, okay. That sounds like a firecracker. Okay, that don't sound like a firecracker. Oh, that's definitely not a fire. Oh, time to go. You know.
Have you ever heard an automatic weapon being fired like that before?
No. Yeah. I've never heard. I honestly, like I said, thought it was firecrackers.
Yeah.
But as he got closer and closer to where I was with a door that you can get out to where I am, and when he was shooting, it wasn't like a 9mm. You know, 9mm is like pop, pop, pop.
Right.
This was more like a thoom, 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 stop. Thoom, 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 stop. And that's when I was like, okay, that's not a 9mm or anything. That's a big gun.
You remember what song you were playing at the time?
You know, everybody's asked me that question.
Right.
All I know is at 2 o'clock, I always wind up just going into a reggae set. So okay. I was probably playing some Movado or something. You know, I probably was So Special. You know, something.
Some kind of mellow to get people.
Just, you know, the dance hall vibe.
Right. Yeah.
And usually just kind of come down from there.
Sure.
Usually I wind up closing out with Mad Cobra Flex.
I
always play that song. All right, there's that one. There's the Jeremiah song. Yeah, all right, we're out. Let's go. I want to go home and I want to go eat.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I want to do. So just try to get everybody, you know, out of there. Usually they close that room first. Like the patio will close first.
Right.
Then the main room, like 5 minutes later, and then everybody just kind of, you know, heads out.
Right.
You know, one thing I got to say, like I said yesterday, security at the club did a really good job of getting people out the back doors and away from where he was.
Right.
You know, because there are back doors that you could open to get out of employee, you know, entrances, and they got a bunch of people out of a room into that hallway and out and over the fences and wherever they're going to go.
Otherwise, this could have been so much worse.
Yeah, it could have. And you know, thank God, you know, unfortunately, you know, what happened is what, it, you know, what you're seeing the people. But staff, you know, I'm glad everybody's safe, you know, all the staff, the bartenders, the other DJs that were there, because there were also two other DJs. All of us wound up getting out safe.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm glad.
So. Well, we all get to go home.
My friend, I'm glad you did get to go home that night, and I appreciate you coming here, man. It means a lot to me, and I'm glad we got to see each other again, and yeah. we don't need to let it go 15 years again, man.
Yeah. It's funny because when I put the post up the one day and I was like, all right, you know, one of these days I'm going to drive when I'm in Tampa. I was like,
right.
You know, I'm going to drive and I was going to hit you up on Facebook.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, I'm going to come stop by the show before I head to the club.
I was like, anytime, dude.
And then, you know, unfortunately we had to meet like this, but, you know, because I think they're actually, I want to say I just read something on Facebook that I think Southern Nights in Tampa is actually doing a vigil.
Oh, really?
I just saw a post from one of the managers. So I'm not sure what day that is. It might be tonight.
Well, let me know if you come over, man.
I'm trying to work on some stuff and try to get over there, because it's going to be my last Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, I commute every Wednesday was.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, I know.
It was getting to be a little too much. So
Kevin and I both know that commute all too well.
I get there a lot faster now. It's like, oh, I'm here in like 35, 45 minutes.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, it's just being too much.
Yes.
Too much wear and tear on the car.
Ray Rivera, he's alive. He was DJing on Saturday night at Club Pulse in Orlando. He is a friend of mine, and I'm glad that he is alive. Much love to you, brother. Thank you for doing this. And, appreciate every moment with your family like you know you are.
I'm not going to take anything for granted now.
Absolutely not.
What it do, my peeps? Welcome to the Drew Garabo Live Hidden Cut of the Day. Enjoy.
This is an unbelievable honor and privilege for me to introduce this young lady sitting immediately to my right. I first spoke with her on the phone when I was a fan of Jim Phillips, who does this time slot in Orlando. I was trying to move from college radio to working in radio. And I was a regular caller to the Phillips file, and I had struck up somewhat of a friendship with Jim's producer, John Alexander. And John would say, you got to get me a demo tape. I'll get it to the right people. And I said, okay, I'll do that. Got John the demo tape. And then John was gone from the show for a little bit, and I heard this young lady who was on with Jim Phillips, and I would call, and I'd say, where's John? And she'd say, he's taking some time off. And I said, okay. And then one day I heard Jim not like Jim, and I called, and this young lady, Ms. B, told me that that John had passed from cancer, and yes. I thought, well, there goes my radio career. I will never, ever break into this stupid industry. Fast forward a couple of years from there, I went to work for first the Madman. This is Ed Till.
With his crazy ass.
With his crazy ass. And then found myself sharing studio space on the Phillips file with Ms. B, and then Moira joined the show. And for about a year and a half, we did afternoons together. And
yes.
A, it is so nice to see your beautiful face again.
Oh, you are so kind and sweet. Checks in the mail, boom.
That's A. And B, it gives me an opportunity to apologize for every selfish, self-absorbed, egotistical, short-sighted thing I said or did back in the day when I was 26 years old, 27 years old. Didn't know jack you know what about the world. Now I'm still trying to figure it out, but at least I have a little bit better perspective, and it is an honor to see you again.
How kind of you. It is wonderful to see you. What a great shock for me. For you to come into the studio.
Right.
And like Stevie is waiting for me to go. And I'm like, well.
Who the hell is this? She had no idea who I was.
No, you know, because it's been 20 years.
Tell us how bad Drew was.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you how bad he was. Okay.
People want
to
know.
They had to turn him around so I could read the back of his Orlando Magic shirt, jersey. Garabo, there's only one.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one. He was a badass, okay?
Ugh.
And And then he trusted F with me. And I came so close to coming down there. Didn't I tell you I was going to stomp a mud hole in your ass or something like that?
Yep.
I was going to tear his ass up. I was going to. I was going to get him good. And you said, what about me? You little twerk. Here I come. But, you know, so there you go.
Yeah.
But that was then and this is now.
Correct.
And we're happy to be here amongst the living.
Absolutely.
And doing our thing. I'm glad to see you doing yours.
Thank you.
This business is really tricky.
Tell me about it.
You know, it's really tricky. And so, hey, congratulations. Thanks for having me.
That's a pleasure.
So nice. And I accept your apology.
Thank you.
And all the other good stuff about you.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, you've been
Let's
on the radio.
Have a love fest.
Let's do it. 30 years now you've been on the radio in Orlando.
You know, let me just say that. yes, 30. And they said, 30 years. I said, well, you know, actually, it's been more like 40, but I ain't want folks doing no calculations on me. Like, look, don't be counting to say, well, she must be none of your damn business how old I am. Just know that my stuff is still tight and is still right.
There you go. And out of sight. Yeah. Now you are with
tap me on my shoulder.
Oh, damn.
I roll over.
All right.
You know
that.
What I'm saying?
You're with Star 94.1.
No, 5.
Not Star 94.5. You do middays.
No.
What are you doing in the studio?
Yeah, you're here too early.
Well, you know, I'm Miss B. I can come in anytime I want to and commandeer the studio. No, actually, I was filling in for my coworker. I'm on Star. I have a really big position. It's Saturday afternoon.
You go, girl!
At Saturday 10 to 3, Sunday 4 to 7, because they just cannot take all of who I am Monday through Friday.
They can't handle you in prime time, girl.
They're not ready for me. Mm-mm. They're not ready. They are not ready.
Nope.
So, here, you know, there you go. But I was in for my coworker.
Gotcha. How long have you been with Cox here?
10 years.
Good company, right? I mean, I've been with them for 5 years now, and it seems like a really good company.
Very good. I don't know how it is in the building at Tampa, but in this building, there's a lot of love. There's a lot of respect. And most of the people here are very seasoned. So, you know, it just makes for a good atmosphere. You don't have to tell people a lot about what to do.
Sure.
Because we've already done it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so we just know how to get into action and do it.
You said love and respect. Is this radio?
We have Ms. B in the studio with us, and we would be remiss if we did not mention what happened on Saturday night. Where were you when you found out what had happened Saturday night at Pulse Nightclub?
I found out probably about 4:30 in the morning. I got a text and I was home. I had just gotten home. You know, Star 94.5 did our big annual block party downtown, a free for all of our listeners. It was a wonderful, fabulous success. And I left there, went somewhere else, and you know, shum. and so, you know, once I left there, I went and did something else. And then I had to come into the studio to, I hate to say this word. But I voice track my show for Sunday because I wanted to sleep in.
It happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it happens every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted because I had done my big 30th anniversary party in the club that I do every Friday night. So I had been up for about 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I left this premises at 2:10 Sunday morning.
Wow.
Completely unaware of what was happening.
Like 20 minutes away.
And, you know, in fact, I think it was probably just starting. It was that process was just beginning to happen and to unfold. And to get, you know, to get home and see that and know what we were going to be facing in the days ahead was just unbelievable.
Yeah. And you've always been someone who I have admired because of your tolerance and because of the diversity that you preach. And I have adapted that as well. And I think that it's so important for all of us to realize that we don't have to love everything about other people, but at least respect that there are people who live their life in a way that you might not understand, but they have the right to be happy. And the worst thing you can try to do is use your ideology or the way you were raised or the way you feel about two men kissing each other to try to violently act out on other people.
It's a shame, especially when, you know, people, you know, swing, you know, way off to the side when it comes to religion. Look, you know, sin is sin. Check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, check yourself. and then say something to me. No, don't say nothing to me.
Too. Yeah, that's a bad idea.
Bad idea. You know, but we need to love and respect everyone and stop, you know, being so much into other people's business that we let it affect our own lives.
Correct. We have Ms. B in the studio with us. She and I were on the Phillips file together circa 1995, 1996 in heyday of Orlando radio. And you'd never met SBK before,
no? Listen to him all the time, but never met him.
I've always heard of Miss B, I never had that pleasure of meeting her.
That is crazy to me, because both of you play such pivotal roles in my history of real radio. When I go back into my mind, that it's so crazy to me that you two never crossed paths.
No, and we was like the black representation.
Yes, right? We were. It's all. I don't know why we don't know each other. It's only like 2-3 of us.
Yeah, I can't think of another really. there was not.
No. So you know, I don't know how that happened.
I don't either.
But at that time, talk radio was real in your face. Are y'all still in your face?
That's funny you say that. My show used to be called In Your Face with Drew Garabo until I got too in people's faces, and then they said, could you be a little less in your face?
Back up from the face.
Right. So
talk to the hand.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now it's a little toned down, and I'm a little bit more tolerant towards opposing point of views, but I unfortunately learned too much from Ed Till from working from him. And
I almost kicked his ass, too.
And old habits die hard.
Man.
So,
it's
been a work in progress, Miss B. There's
and
no
you
doubt
know, and
about
Ed,
that.
Yeah, and Ed Till, he was about the size of Prince. I was like, oh, I know I can take you. It's going down.
He was
down.
A little mini man.
Oh, yeah. He was. A mini angry man who would stand up to his show like, this is Ed Till. If you put your child in daycare, you are a failure of a parent.
Damn, you got him good.
I can still see it in my sleep.
Oh, yes. The Ed Till biopic. Mm-hmm. You're it, baby. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I can hope to play him.
I see an Academy Award
Thank
in
you.
Your history,
Thank
in your
you very
life,
much.
In your future.
As we broadcast in Orlando and we kind of take the pulse of people in Orlando, something like this happens and everybody knows someone who is connected with it. We had the DJ in the studio with us earlier today who helped pull some people to safety. Moving forward from this, does this affect the way you go out in public? We're interacting with the public a lot. You look at what happened on Friday night to that beautiful young girl from The Voice, and then happened on Saturday. Do you allow it to affect you, or do you just think, I'm going to keep my wits about me and watch the people around me, but I'm not going to let it influence my good times?
I have to keep my wits about me, and I think we all do, because not to means they won.
Right.
Okay. And we go and you have to keep living. Life goes on. You do so with a different consciousness, but you must go on. And you know, for me, I'm in the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a Friday night thing every Friday night for the last 10 years, and so to have something like of this magnitude happen in a club when I am every day telling people, come be with me in a club, come on, let's party in the club. Every Friday night I do my thing, every Friday night and other nights as I'm hired to here and there, but definitely every Friday night, I'm concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there is a tremendous ripple effect that's going to take place as a result, and we're going to be affected for a while. I'm thinking, how is this going to affect security? What kind of security measures are clubs going to start taking now? Are we going to have to do like you do on the cruise ship where you give them your ID and they run it in a computer and they know everybody who's in the building,
right?
And they know when you go in and they know when you come out. You know, are you going to have to take off your shoes before you go in the club? Or, you know, you're going to be patted down, have a wand? Are our security in the club, are they now going to be armed? And how much is that going to cost? Because whatever it costs is going to be passed on to the consumer, which is going to affect me, because if people don't feel like, if they can't afford to pay or they don't want to pay, then they won't come. And that's going to, you know, ultimately have an effect on me.
So don't stop going out on Friday nights.
No.
Please.
Go out on Friday nights.
Go out on Friday night. Make a stand.
There you go.
Make a stand.
Well, Ms. B, it was certainly lovely catching up with you again. Thank you very much for being here. It's so
you
good to
so
see you
sweet.
Still thriving and surviving in this
Thank
business.
You, my baby.
This cruel, heartless industry that chews people up and spits them out.
Yes,
here
it kicks
we are.
Their ass.
Here we are. Still on the damn radio. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Back at you.
And nice to meet you. you, SBK.
Nice to meet you, Miss B.
You know, don't let it be the last time.
I'm about to come out on a Friday night.
Yeah, where are you on Friday nights?
Downtown at Ember 42.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, yeah.
All right. West Central Boulevard.
Friday nights at Ember.
Friday nights at Ember. I'm there at 10 o'clock. We get it in R&B, island, hip-hop.
Hell yeah.
And all of that good stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay. Love you.
Love you back. Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me.